Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and I am here today at the FinTech Surge podcast with one of the top 20 FinTech influencers of the Middle East. He is the co-founder and chairman of the MENA FinTech Association, Mr. Namir Khan. How are you?
That sounds like a wrestling intro. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very excited to have you here today, that's why.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How you been?
I've been great. Thank you, Namir. And you?
Very well. Can't complain. It's been amazing. UAE is buzzing.
Yes.
Everyone's here. The entire world is here. So it's a great time to be in UAE.
Fantastic.
And great time to be alive.
Absolutely. Yes. So let me start off by asking you about what was the motivation behind the creation of the MENA FinTech Association?
So the MENA FinTech Association was established, it's been like a 3.5 years journey now. And the journey was to ensure that we have a framework that that basically is only enabling and that is only creating a conducive environment for the fintechs in the MENA region to thrive in, all right? An ecosystem that is a support network, an ecosystem that basically helps you grow, an ecosystem that helps you bridge the gap between the policymakers and the innovators to ensure that what they build gets scale. Because eventually any entrepreneur would love to basically build a product, and a product needs to go out, a product needs to be relevant, a product needs to be aligned with the rules and regulations of the not just the region, but of course for the country itself. So the MENA FinTech Association has been the voice of the FinTech community. It's been a great journey. We have been growing, I would say, as we speak, we are growing. Today we have around 47 plus members, 48 plus country alliances, 128 individual members that are actively involved in a very large community itself.
Fantastic. And so you support fintech companies through your organization in becoming, advancing themselves. How do you support fintech companies in the Middle East?
So fintech companies in the Middle East, like I said, the first and the foremost important thing is bridging that gap between the policymakers and the innovators.
Okay.
That's the first thing that I would actually pick up right now.
So you're the middleman between the regulator and the fintech company.
We are the voice, I would say, the bridge.
The voice.
Right? The second thing that happens after that is a fintech company that needs to scale also needs to have the right partners. Because if you understand the dynamics of the region, partnerships play a very essential role. That is why today you would have a lot of tech companies having partnerships role and big payments companies having partnerships role, because that's in a very critical and a very important segment where our fintech partners with another leading tech company or a leading payment provider or a bank, per se, right, to ensure that they're able to achieve that level of scale. And partnerships play an important role, and that's where we also help with our network base that we have within the MENA FinTech Association, and on top of it, the individual members that we have who are extremely well connected in this space, then also enable that connectivity with the wider market.
Okay, and how do you interact with regulators in the UAE?
With the regulators, we have been closely working with the regulators in a way that when it comes to consultations, framework development, be that open finance, be that many others, we have been closely involved with them. And the way we, when we say we're the voice of fintech community, it's not just for the fintech community, it is also being the voice when it comes to the regulatory bodies and identifying some of those key points that need to be addressed as a community, as a fintech community, by the regulators itself.
And do you also offer consulting to banks?
See, in terms of consulting to the banks, it's mainly, I would say, we work with banks. We actively have conversations and discussions with the banks. But when it comes to our conversations, they mainly focus with the fintechs.
Yes.
And the wider technology network, which includes large payment providers itself.
Okay.
But with banks, we operate in a way that, number one, we engage with them actively in discussions.
Yes.
We work with banks in terms of suggesting them some of the key fintechs that could be adding significant value to their to their value propositions that they have for their end consumers.
Okay, I understand. And it's very interesting because the Middle East is becoming, let me ask you the question, do you feel that the Middle East, the UAE, has become a hub for fintech?
I wouldn't really say the hub for fintech, but I would really say it's more beyond that. right? Our hub is where everyone's coming together. But this hub is, if I was to say the role, the strategic role that we play is also a gateway to the wider region itself.
Okay.
And that's where we have, you know, played a significant role. So it's not just a hub, it's a hub plus the gateway to the region.
Okay.
Right? And I would say in the past couple of years, the way it has really, you know, come to, just I wouldn't really say, you know, surface, I would say rocketed, right, is the right word. Because today, you go out, you go any event, you go, you pick up who's basically coming into the market, you will actually lose count. Because there's so many players are now just coming into the UAE, setting up the base over here,
right.
Not just setting up the base, but also bringing in the employee base over here because of the incentives they get.
That's right.
So it's not just a gateway. It's a hub that provides and that basically is creating that environment for an entrepreneur to come and excel in, for an entrepreneur to come and test their business in, for scaled businesses to come in into the region by setting up the base over here. Because eventually, if you look into it, most of the fintech companies or tech companies are coming over here in UAE, setting up and then expanding into other markets such as, you know, the wider GCC, the MENA markets.
Right. And having so many different players in the association,
yeah.
So you've got fintech companies, you've got the regulators,
yeah.
You've got some banks, you've got partners. What is the synergy among all these players? How do they interact with one another? Are there difference in opinions between the fintech companies who are trying to attain a goal where the regulator might not be as cooperative? Is there such synergy problems, challenges, let's call them?
So challenges everyone has and different opinions everyone has. The best part is that when we are working closely with the regulators, the thing is that we funnel it down.
Mm-hmm.
We have a single opinion. We have a consensus on every single point.
Okay.
So it may be 19 players talking about one specific point, but we have one single consensus. So we may disagree, we may agree, but that happens before.
Okay.
Right? So, and these are constructive discussions that we have,
mm-hmm.
where opinions are then merged into one single opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Then that goes out to the policymakers, which makes life easy for the policymakers to also make a decision.
Right.
If they have 18 different opinions,
right.
18 different conversations, that makes the decision-making process significantly delayed. And that's what we do. We ensure that we come down together, come to a consensus, and then have a single voice for that specific point.
Okay. And since things are changing so fast, do policies change frequently?
Policies are getting better.
Okay.
Right? Policies are getting better. It's more conducive to the overall fintech network.
Mm-hmm.
I would say what's happening in the UAE itself, we are having multiple regimes being launched, licenses being issued. So these are all great signs. Yeah.
Yeah. So they are changing
100%.
Quite frequently.
100%. If that was the case, you know, then you would not have these leading fintech players come in and set up over here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key indicators or one of the key, I would say, areas of interest that picks up for any entrepreneur, any fintech to expand into any market is regulations, market access, access to capital, and, you know, a few more. So basically, if you look into policies, they make a significant impact in terms of helping one company decide whether we need to go to this country or not. Now, that's one piece. The second piece is that if you look into the amount of fintech that are setting up over here, that's a strong indicator that they're quite positive about the market itself and you know, the regulations as well.
So policies, there are global ones,
yeah.
but there are also local ones to the region.
Correct? So if you were to see the way the policies are there, the policies are, so this region operates differently, yeah? So there needs to be regional policies.
Right.
But regional policies that help every company grow.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a global company too.
Right. You discussed a lot of issues around sustainability.
Yeah.
So how does sustainability and fintech interact with one another?
First,
are we doing something unsustainable at the moment?
First, I will answer your question, which is, are we doing anything unsustainable? 51 billion tons of carbon emissions is being produced as we speak annually, yes. Right? We know that by if we do not reduce the carbon emissions by limiting the 2.5, then we are actually heading towards a major planetary catastrophe, right? And because of the carbon emissions that we are producing today, there are multiple issues that are going out in the that this entire planet is facing. Mm-hmm. That is, the climate issues are, number one, you have weather issues, right? So which means there are more floods, there are more earthquakes, etc. When you have more floods, there's more evaporation. More evaporation means more rain. More rain means killing the soil, killing the crops. When that happens, there's going to be food insecurity because there's going to be less food being produced, right?
Right.
Food insecurity means that people will be, there will be more hunger in the world, right? People will be starving. There would be humanitarian crisis. There would be refugee crisis. Biodiversity is being killed, which means coral reefs are dying today. And that also means that if coral reefs die, then, a lot of fish that's being, the marine ecosystem is going to die as well. So that basically tells you what we're doing today, mm-hmm. right? So what do we need to do? Mm-hmm. Where fintech comes in?
Yes.
Fintech plays a significant role in bridging that gap as well. Because everything we do today, everything you see around you has been bought by somewhere, someplace, somewhere.
Yes.
Right, we can touch onto that ecosystem and help, number one, create awareness amongst the users. Today, 91% of the users or consumers today would want to switch a brand if the brand is not being sustainable or if the brand is not supporting any cause or making an impact, 91%. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, what we need to be really careful about is greenwashing. A lot of brands, a lot of companies will just go out and they will just promote, we are supporting. But are they genuinely doing it end to end or not is the question.
Okay.
Right? So fintech plays a significant role in transparency, awareness, and execution when it comes to sustainability, one. Two is that if I was to look into the growth of the sector, $1.4 billion have been invested in the last 6 months just on this specific segment on sustainability plus fintech. Mm-hmm. That tells you the growth that's basically going to be coming in. Now, almost $9 trillion need to be invested annually if you were to basically achieve net zero. Mm. So that tells you if you were to invest $9 trillion annually, what big of a market you're looking into. Mm-hmm. So the best part about this is that this gives purpose to fintechs.
Yes.
It's profit with a purpose. And that should be the key focus for, I would say, not just for fintechs, but for every single business that's operating. Are you profit with the purpose? Are you making any good impact? Is my purchase impacting the planet in a good way or in a wrong way? It's not just me thinking about it. It's 91% of the market, as per the survey, who's thinking about it. If you knew about this, you will make more conscious choices.
Yes, absolutely. I know how I can help sustainability, but it's very interesting
yeah.
how you put it, how a fintech company can help.
100%.
Wonderful. Let me ask you about your opinion on blockchain and how fintech comes into play in the future of blockchain.
I think blockchain is a key enabler mm-hmm. for... Because eventually, if you see what we just spoke about just now, is also including transparency into the system. So blockchain is like a liquid fabric. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there everywhere. And it becomes a backbone of enabling transparency. For me, the biggest use case for that is enabling transparency and basically being a lot more real time.
Okay. So you perceive blockchain to be a transparent tool?
100%. It's really going to enable end-to-end transparency.
Okay.
Without going into any more use cases, I think the biggest mm-hmm. use case is this, enabling end-to-end transparency, because the consumers would want today.
Okay. And what do you feel still needs to be done to really reach our peak for the next 2 years, let's say? What can we do more?
As a country?
No, in the fintech industry. What can fintech companies do to really reach their peak or the association? What can the association of mm-hmm. fintech companies do mm-hmm. to get to that next level?
I think we're already achieving that level. We're in the right trajectory right now. Mm-hmm. What further needs to be done is more enablement of these tech and fintech companies more and more, so that it's easier for them to further expand. I mm-hmm. think any founder is, or any tech company is, quite aggressive for its growth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what limits a tech company or what limits a founder is the limitation that they may face when it comes to the regulations. Mm-hmm. I think once, and regulations, like, you know, we're happy to be in a country where it's becoming a lot more open, mm-hmm. That then helps the founders and the tech companies to further expand their, or, you know, just stay true through their aggression they have to expand and grow the business. They're doing what they're doing, one. Number two is, in terms of, like, partnerships, I would always advise fintech companies to strongly assess the partners they work with. Mm-hmm. Not every partner is going to be your great partner. Right? And not everything that looks fancy is supposed to be good for you. So just do your due diligence, heavy due diligence, on every partner that you work with. A lot of partners may appear to have a good tech on the front, but the back end would not be as good. Mm-hmm. Right? So do your due diligence, speak to the right people in the market, understand if you're speaking to the right people as well. Understand if the tech that you are going to be partnering with is going to be complementing your tech or not. Is the person credible in the market or not? These are some of the key things that I would recommend to any fintech company if they are a young fintech company expanding. Absolutely. Make sure and protect yourself.
Right.
Protect yourself. Make sure that you sign NDAs with these companies. And then be able to, because if you do, no matter how big or no matter how big or how small, practice the right of protecting yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's important.
All these, all this advice that you're giving, are there mentors that in the association that are assigned to these new fintech companies?
Yeah. So if a fintech company requires support, then we certainly recommend the right person.
Okay.
Who would be able to guide them. Okay. So for example, if it's for payments, you have the right person for payments. If it's for rec tech, then we have mm-hmm. the right person for rec tech. Right. So 100% we do.
Okay. And in the MENA FinTech Association, are there occasions where even competing firms, do they have the occasion to meet and brainstorm together? And
that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Those who would not sit outside will sit together with us inside the room, which mm-hmm. is fantastic.
Okay.
This is the beauty of it, right? We bring them all together. We make them hug each other. So that's what happens. So that tells you how closely we work with everyone.
Yeah, because I'm sure there are issues, technical issues, that cannot be resolved when thinking of it alone and putting several brains together.
I mean, it's competition by the end of the day, right? So we all work together to level up.
What did you call it? Co-opetition?
Co-opetition.
Co-opetition.
Co-opetition, yeah.
I like that.
So it's like leveling up, you know, when you grow, I grow. It's that sort of a thing.
Exactly. And what is your perception of fintech in the future, in the next 10 years? Where do you think we will be?
Where do you think we would be?
Will we have a chip inside our skin to pay?
Oh my God, that's already happening, isn't it? Like, imagine, it's already happening, right?
Has it?
Yeah, it's been so many innovations and advancements
phases,
happening,
maybe?
But I don't think so. I would be opting in for this. I'd rather stick to to the basics then.
But where do you see fintech in 10 years from now?
Fintech in 10 years is going to become... So embedded finance is the next thing, right? I mean, it's not the next thing. It is already happening, embedded finance. Mm-hmm. Finance is going to become invisible.
So embedded finance, can you give a brief description of that?
Embedded finance is when platforms, I would give an example of a platform. It's when you're doing a transaction, your lending is involved in it, your payment is seamless, your lending, like I said, is basically there. You can take an instant loan that could be split your payments in four. It could be many of those things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's within that specific transaction. Embedded finance is also embedded, which means finance embedded within your own platform itself.
Okay, all right.
To just keep it simple.
Okay. And so where do you see this in the next 10 years?
It's already happening.
Right.
It's already... If you see, if
so
you,
that is already happening.
If you see, the bigger platforms are now number one, because if you see, no platform will be successful if it was without financial transactions. Mm-hmm. If you were to use an Uber, right. Or if you were to use anything else, imagine if you had no payments in it. Would you use it? No, of course not, right? So, number one, if you see, all the platforms are now going into advanced stages, which means either they're going into the financial services license acquisitions, getting some PSPs. Some of them are also, the larger players are, you know, going into the banking space as well. Some of them are acquiring open banking players.
Right.
So if you see that big tech companies, the bigger tech companies globally are now acquiring a lot of these fintech companies itself to ensure that they have that financial services capability embedded within their own platforms itself. So the consumer or the customer who is actually working with them or who is dealing with them gets a very seamless experience.
Absolutely.
Within the platform without going outside the platform.
Right, right. And what I'm seeing as well, in the near future and even lately, a lot of companies, retailers even, are adopting new payment methods.
Yeah.
For example, blockchain, crypto payments.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see that going?
So crypto payments has picked up more and more. I see a lot of merchants making announcements. And that, then you also have a regulation that came in to protect the consumers very recently that basically is highlighting that anyone involved in illegal crypto payments is going to be penalized, right? So, which is a great thing. So you see adoption, and then you also see measures to protect the customers, because eventually regulations are to protect the customer.
What do they mean by that, though? Penalizing the
imagine you're using an illegal crypto method to pay,
right?
Because imagine that, right? Mm-hmm. Or an exchange that is not regulated.
Mm-hmm.
I would say legal would not be the right word, but you know, let's say unregulated exchange is operating out in the market and you're accepting payments through that.
Right.
It's unregulated in the mainland, right? So you need to be working with a regulated exchange or that comes in with certain level of control, security measures to control and protect the customer.
Yes.
So a recent law was passed, which basically says that if anyone is involved in, you know, dealing with unregulated exchanges, it's going to be penalized, right? So, and that is for the betterment of the customer, because eventually the customer is their money.
Right. And if we look at customers, the average consumer,
where
would this consumer get all this information as to the regulations that you've just mentioned?
One thing is the awareness piece, right? If you see, I mean, you know, you see the education piece comes in by people being able to see what's happening in the news and, of course, being made aware from these channels, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is that when they're buying something or when they're using anything to do with their finances, make sure you see where it's regulated from.
Mm-hmm.
The regulations are in place.
Right.
And you can see that, right? So regulated by Central Bank of UAE or by FSRA or by DFSA. So you can see that. So if you see many of these platforms today, you know, who are advertising as well on the roads, it's like, you know, it's just like fintech all over. You would see the regulator underneath itself.
Okay.
So important to see if the platform you're dealing with is regulated or not.
Okay,
that's important.
That's very interesting, because I may want to buy or purchase an item with Bitcoin. Where would I know? How would I find out this information of how I can purchase it? I'm talking about the mass consumers who are not yet aware of these methods.
I think
is there a program to reach the mass consumers?
Is there, so it's by the law, it's required if any of these platforms are marketing themselves, by law, they're required to mention the regulator, right? So they should continue to do that. I mean, they should continue to see that if the platform you're dealing with is an approved platform,
right.
If the platform is
so knowledge,
regulated,
awareness.
Yes.
Is it difficult for fintech companies to find skilled workers, skilled knowledgeable,
yeah, you're touching
aware
a,
workers.
A sensitive spot, right? Yeah. So, yes.
Yes.
There is, 100%. Yeah. And talent has been one of the major concerns that is being bridged mm-hmm. by bringing in, you know, talent from different parts of the world into the country. That's already happening. And at the same time, what we're also doing as well is nurturing talent.
Right.
So what we do, for example, on the association level, we have sustainable fintech leadership program.
Okay.
So first we build sustainability, then we build sustainable fintech leadership program in collaboration with AD, so the Sustainable Fintech Alliance that the MENA Fintech Association has is done in collaboration with almost 17 different partners, okay. including DIFC, ADGM, London Institute of Banking and Finance. Then we built after understanding that, okay, this is fantastic. We want to focus on sustainability. Mm-hmm. Now the next step is that, hey, let's build a program to create some awareness. So then we build a sustainable fintech leadership program mm-hmm. in which we did, you know, we gave 35 scholarships to, in collaboration with ADGM and LIBF, to 35 executives from the region. So we have people from Morocco, Canada, US, Australia, mm-hmm. UAE,
to
Saudi.
Executives. You're giving the
I mean, executives and professionals in the fintech space working in the fintech industry,
okay.
right?
And so, what about at the university level?
Yeah, so one thing is this, right? So first we did this. This is, that tells you about us building up talent for the mm-hmm. for the region when it comes to sustainability. Then when it comes to educational level, again, we did the Open Finance Masterclass. Mm-hmm. We did that in DIFC, in collaboration with DIFC. What we did over there was... you know, open it up for everyone to come and participate, including students, and come and get educated and understand what is open finance, what is open banking and open finance, mm-hmm. simultaneously working with the universities to build the curriculum as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Is there currently a curriculum?
Many universities are offering this as a separate, I would say...
yeah, that's what I mean, as a completely separate program.
As a program, I think there is one university offering it, but these are like small programs that you have right now.
Okay.
But that's not...
They're not elaborated.
And plus, it's more... Some of them are offering this as an elective as well
okay, yeah.
that you can pick up to understand more about fintech, mm-hmm. which is great. At least it's a good start.
Right.
So that's picking up more and more. Mm-hmm. But I also feel that fintech needs to be blended into the financial education that a student gets when they are growing up.
Yeah.
Right. What is fintech? Mm-hmm. What is a payment method? What is a wallet?
Yes.
What is these are the, and you see.
We did that in accounting, I think.
I mean, if you look into if you look at kids today, most of the kids are using wallet stems. Yeah. They know about it. So why not just educate them?
They know fintech.
There you and they use fintech.
And they use it.
So Gen Zs. I mean, forget about millennials or Gen Zs. I think it's more about number one the mindset mm-hmm. that you have. And if you look at these kids, most of them would be using, like, what are these cards, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll be using their Apple Pays,
that's
they'll
true.
You know, their Google Pays, and their phones to tap and pay.
You're right.
And
they're ahead of the game.
They are way ahead of the game. And in fact, I was actually sitting at a coffee shop, and I heard these kids talking about it, and I'm like, okay, let me hear this. So I took my earbuds out, and let me hear these kids. They're talking about trading. They're like, hey, buy this, buy that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wish I knew that when I was a kid. So, I mean, these kids are way more advanced
Absolutely.
Than you think.
My 16-year-old taught me all about crypto.
Oh, fantastic.
We
even
had a
better.
Crash course.
Oh, you did?
I did.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So these kids are very well aware. So why not just educate them?
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Namir, it's been great to have you here.
Thank you for having
me.
I
do look forward to seeing you at the FinTech Surge event in October.
100%, yeah. And I look forward to it as well. It's
Fantastic.
A great event. I would say it's really, you know, grown over the years.
It has. It's
and
become,
it's getting
it's becoming
bigger.
Becoming a monster.
It's becoming bigger and better, which is great. And the important thing about such an event is that you are able to have all these key players in one place. So if I really need to network in a powerful manner, I'd rather go to this place where... You know, FinTech Storage is providing me with a platform where I can go and I can meet everyone in one shot in a single day, in 2 days.
Yeah.
It's like an accelerated method of networking.
Absolutely.
And that helps
Speed
you.
Networking.
and that helps you get back on all the networking that you may have missed in your busy schedule.
Absolutely.
So it gives you an excuse to be there, spend more time.
Yeah, everyone under one roof.
Everyone under one roof, and now if you look into it, how things have matured, mm-hmm. that more and more players more and more larger global platforms are coming in as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you would see that on the FinTech Surge's website too, all the key players who are actually coming on board more and more.
Fantastic. Well, Namir, thank you for joining us today. I'm very happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.